the two things. He said, you know, how do you make certain decisions? Y'all hear that? And what did he say? The B word. Your brain. You got to use your brain. And then he talked about other people counseling. But I'm telling you, here's a shortcut. Your brain and the Bible. Okay? Or your brain controlled by the Bible. Or your brain with other people that are controlled by the Bible. That's a good thing. Okay? When I was teaching kids at Alpha, we talked about here's the two things that you want to learn from. Revelation, okay, that's one. Okay, God's revealed will, okay, that's one way you learn. And then the other thing is your rational mind, okay? So that's the same thing as brain and the Bible. Do you see that? Revelation through the Bible and rational mind through your brain. Anyway, so that is good stuff when we hear that from CF. Okay, so look, what I want to do these next three Sundays is I want to talk about the resurrection. Okay, resurrection. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to study in that. Okay, I'm trying to teach you what that means. Although I want to make you question yourself about what does it mean. What was Paul trying to say? What was he not saying that we can get from this conversation? You got me? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. But as you're going there, now listen. What are the limitations on us studying 1 Corinthians 15 or anybody that's reading that letter? Think of some limitations. What are you getting to see of the picture? We can do that by asking questions. First of all, who are the parties to this letter? Paul and his apostolic group. So let's just don't say Paul. Paul and his group and who? Church at Corinth. They ain't trick questions. So, I mean, hey, tell me. Speak it out. So who is that? Okay. When, we don't have to ask, but we know that the when is before the age ended, if you think that matters any, okay, and I'm telling you that it does, okay, the age is not yet ended when Paul wrote. He wrote this probably in the late 50s, or mid 50s, early 60s, okay, so that's the when, okay, but ask yourself the why. Why is Paul writing this to them? Why did he write the whole Corinthian letter? Why would you say? Anybody? Guy, what would be a summary of you? Hey, why Paul write to Corinthians? What would you say? Anybody?
Well, they must have had people that were just discounting the resurrection.
So let's call them, and I'm going to use this term, so you know, these resurrection deniers. Or resurrection of the dead deniers. Okay? So I'm with Keith, okay? That's what's going on. And if you were to say more broadly, why did Paul write to the church in Corinth? You would say to maybe correct error. Would you? Yeah. Look, when CF went through that, remember, at the beginning of Corinthians, if you go look, in chapter 1:8, he says, no one, you are above all others in the use of spiritual gifts. You want to look at that or you believe me?
They were rocking and rolling.
They had the fullest spiritual gifts, and yet,
jacked up.
Yes, they were jacked up. How do those two things go together?
Yeah. I was just going to say, now the Sadducees were the ones that denied the resurrection. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you think that there were some of those that were possibly in this group?
Or? Could be. Okay. Could be. Because the two main parties out of four main parties.
Well, most of the time when Christ butted heads with the Pharisees.
Listen, you will not find where he butted heads with the Sadducees. He only answered them a couple of times, and he just told them, hey, you do not understand, because they were trying to trick him with this question about the levirate marriage. Thank you. Levirate marriage, which said what, please? Yeah.
You have to provide heirs for your sibling, your brother.
Yes. Your brother's wife, yes. His widow. Yeah. Okay, y'all got that? So, okay. You think that's kind of weird, but hey, no social security, no nothing, okay? And so, hey, a widow, all right, her husband dies. What does she have? Nothing. What if she has even one son? Did that law apply, the levirate marriage? No, she had a son. That's her social security. That's her thing, okay? So, and they try to trick Jesus. Famous story in Genesis 38, a guy named Judah. Yeah, one of the 12, yes. Judah had three sons. First one, and they married Tamar. Married Tamar, so going to live happily ever after. And yet, that boy was bad. And brace yourself for this. God said, I mean, the Bible says God killed him. Okay, so she then, and Judah lines her up to marry number two son. His name is called Onan. And Onan, did he fulfill his relationship to his brother's widow? He kind of did. You want me to tell you how he did it? The Bible is very clear. Yes, he would go into her, wink, wink, but instead of giving her a chance to conceive, he would withdraw and he would spill his seed on the ground. These are idioms. Are you following the drift of life? And this was not a one-time thing, is the wording of that. This was a lot of time thing. So what was he after? He wasn't after fulfilling the levirate marriage law, which, by the way, was before the law. But it was the law. Mm-hmm. What are we doing this if Moses ain't given the law yet? It's because it was always the law, God's heart, and it don't have to wait for Moses to have it. That's a different story. So, number one son, dead. Tamar, Onan, bad dude, okay? And it says there, so God blanked him. What do you think it said? God killed him. Judah has one more son named, I forgot, okay? But he's not old enough yet. So he tells her, go, put on your widow clothes, go back to your father's house. When he's of age, I'll call you. Time goes by in just a couple of verses. He comes of age, and she's waiting on the call, and Judah don't ever call. Now, for whatever reason, Judah don't call. He don't call. Tamar is going to do something about it. What does she do? You know the story? They're going to the sheep shearing. Judah and his buddies, they go into the sheep shearing and they're bypassing this little place, okay? What happens at harvest parties and sheep shearing parties? You want to know what happens? Okay, well, you can just imagine what happens by what it's about. And so he's going, he's married on it, but he's going, and there's a little booth beside the road, a shrine prostitute, which it really isn't. There ain't one in the area. But she took off her widow clothes, it says. She put on veils and all that, and she put up the little tent with the red light on it. And here comes Judah. And they make a deal, and he goes into her, but before he says, what do you give me? He says, I'll give you a goat. She said, okay, but you ain't got no goat, so what do you give me? I'll give you my wallet and driver's license, right? My deal, okay? Hold this until I send the goat. They do the deal. He goes back. He tells his friend, take my goat and get my wallet and car keys, yes? The guy goes, where is the shrine? Where is the prostitute? And the people, the men of the area say, ain't none of that here. He laughs it off. He forgets it. He said, I'll just get a replacement wallet and driver's license and credit card. Until 3 months later, and what does Tamar say or do? Well, she is passively not saying anything, but she is doing this. She's getting bigger. And people say to Judah now, your daughter is pregnant, and so she should be stoned. And he says, bring her out, we're going to kill her. That's the law. She comes out and she says, I am pregnant, but it's by the man who this driver's license and wallet, this signet ring and this staff belong to. What did Judah say? You remember? She is more blank than me. She's more righteous than me. So, did he ever give her that third son? No. But Judah himself, she's pregnant, and now she has a child who, if you go check out the lineage and who that happens to get into, is later the physical lineage of someone named Yeshua. Now, is that not a neat deal? Huh? Is that not the providence of God? Oh, man. So, I'm just telling you. So, all that from the Sadducees. But I just love that story. And the Sadducees were part of what's going on here. And also, but I think what we're going to find is that when we ask the question, properly put on the table, who, in 1 Corinthians 15, who are the deniers of the resurrection? Who are the resurrection of the dead deniers? And what do they mean by the dead? Okay? So, I want to ask you first, without even looking up here, I hesitate to put that, because I just want you to verbalize, what is your understanding of what resurrection is? And when it occurs, what it looks like, what have you been taught? I won't tell you what I've been taught, but it may have been the same thing, but what? What happens on resurrection morning? CF likes the word resurrection morning, resurrection day. What? What have you been taught? Whether you agree with it now or not, or willing to listen or study? What? What? Ron, what happened on resurrection morning, resurrection day? You've been taught.
We didn't really talk about it that much.
Okay.
Not sure.
Okay.
Jesus' resurrection?
No, not Jesus' resurrection morning, which we're coming up in a couple weeks, but.
Yeah.
No, resurrection day for you and me. What have you been taught?
Come out of grace.
Okay, come out of grace.
Yeah. Some will go, some will stay, and.
Some will stay in the grave?
The grave, yes.
And some will come out of the grave?
Right.
Okay.
Meaning righteous, separated. There's a.
Oh, or are they both come out,
yes.
But then they be separated?
Yes.
Righteous and the wicked?
Yep.
Yes. Matthew 25, sheep and the goats?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Someone else?
That's bad.
Bad.
So bad.
That's funny. Nice.
I always thought that was odd because Christ tells. You know, when he's on the cross, he says, "You today you will be with me."
Uh-oh. Yes?
Don't mess up the story with the facts.
He does. So what does he mean? What is paradise?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. He says, hey.
And so it's two fuzzy things that are right, there with black dots on it.
But let me ask you, is paradise usually equated with resurrection? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Paradise is being back with God, or it's the Jewish thought of a part of Hades, which is Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. That could be. Or it's like Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 12 when he says, I know a man who went to the third heaven, and he said, I know a man who went to paradise. He equates those. So is that paradise just the throne room of God, where God lives? I don't know.
But Christ hadn't ascended there yet, from what I understand.
Oh, on the cross.
His resurrection, or during his period of swooning death.
No, it's during his period of physical death.
Right. But he said he led, like, supposedly captivity captive to be a forerunner into heaven.
Yes.
So when did that occur? Did that occur in that in-between time?
No, it says, you're quoting Ephesians 4. Mike's quoted Ephesians 4, and it said, who is this that ascended and led captivity captive, except he who first descended to the lower parts, either the earth or the lower parts of the earth? People will say, is that Hades, or is that just the earth? Because all that was a humiliation. All that was a humiliation, right? Now, what do you want to say about that? Does that tell you when Ephesians means that he led captivity captive? When? What do you think? It's at the ascension, okay? It's at the ascension, I think.
That's what I believe, yeah.
Okay, that's it. I think
but
so.
He hadn't occurred yet because...
Does that equal your concept that you can talk of the resurrection morning? No way. Mm-hmm. No way. Resurrection, first of all, when have you been taught it's going to happen? On the blank day.
The last day.
Last day. Not for Jesus.
For you.
What do you know for you, resurrection?
Jesus' second coming, his physical return.
Yes, at his second coming. Okay, at the big three things, okay, we said parousia, which is presence, okay, judgment, yes, you just said that, yes, and number three, resurrection. Those all happen at the same time, and I'm just trying to get you to verbalize what does a picture look like you've been taught. John.
I was taught that God remembers my DNA that corrupted and is long gone.
Yes.
Reforms me, but it's in a more glorious format than I'm in now.
New body. Who's been taught that? New body, glorious body, glorified body, taken back from all the molecules. We're talking science and physics, are we not? Yes. Okay. And how can he do that if you died at sea and got eaten by a shark, and I caught the shark, and I ate the shark, and I got killed? How did that happen? Well, here's how it happened. God can do anything. Okay, but I'm just saying, that's what you've been taught. Okay, God will put you back to reunite your spirit or soul with your physical body. It'll be glorified, shiny. You can, will you be able to do this?
You know what?
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's funny about that. It's like wanted to prove to them he wasn't a spirit. You know, yes. This is a resurrected body. This is a little different than my other one, you know, but give me something. And he ate some fish. What I always think. He walks through the wall. I'm thinking, there should have been fish stuck
on the wall.
Yeah.
He got the fish after he got it. And honeycomb. So that's a theologically significant
sweet.
Anyway, okay, so look, these are great. They get them on the table, okay? Are all of those things true? And is that what these people were saying? The resurrection of the dead deniers. That's what we're calling them, okay? These people that Paul is about to talk to are, as Keith said, resurrection of the dead deniers. And what concept did they have? Did they believe that it was going to be this kind of day, the end, the last day? Did they believe it was going to be time-ending, earth-burning, corpses out of casket with their old body, with their spirit back from heaven, same DNA that God's going to do that, but walk through walls and that? Is that what they thought is what I'm asking? Not what you thought, but that is it. But is that what they thought according to Scripture? Go ahead.
So the Pharisees would believe that there was a resurrection.
Yes.
Correct. Of the body. Yes. Right? And Sadducees.
That's hard to know, but right? They believed, the Bible just says they believed in the resurrection.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what, this is from conversations I've had over the past month or so, that the immortality of a soul wasn't really in the framework of a Hebrew, Greek understanding of the body. So the Sadducees then, could we say, where do they fit?
Sadducees believed that when you died, you went to Sheol,
right,
or the grave, or the pit, or the abyss, not really, because that was for the demons and them. But look, they believed you went to the afterworld, okay? And that's it. That's it. Did they believe in non-existence after death? No. Because what did they ask Jesus about the levirate marriage? They didn't believe in non-existence.
Okay.
They believed that you went to Sheol. I think we can logically deduce that. You follow me?
Okay.
Because they said, hey, who's she going to be in heaven? And the first thing Jesus says, hey, you don't understand either the prophets or the wisdom of God, because they ain't no marriage in heaven. They'll be like the angels. Mm. Okay? I think we can understand that too, okay? That, hey, I'm not going to think of my wife the same as I do now. I'm not going to do the same things and have the babies and all that. Okay? Whatever.
Hopefully be neighbors, though.
Huh?
So hopefully be neighbors, though.
We'll still be lovers.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll be lovers. Okay, Mike.
So what about the Sadducees that if they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in a new body, that you just went off and that was it, right?
They did not believe.
That's why they were sad, you see.
Yes, that's very good. Okay.
Yes. Just thought I'd throw that out.
Okay, well, that's great. Okay, you get that? You get it? Okay. All right.
But that's the resurrection they're talking about.
Everyone in the Bible talks about the same resurrection, which is the resurrection at the last day. Go to John 11. I'm sorry, I know the first thing, but I'm fine with this little background. This is fantastic.
Well, John 11. What I understood about Sadducees is they didn't believe in the resurrection. Well, what resurrection?
Yes. Well, look, who is the resurrection promised to first in the Bible, and where anybody, or just generally? The resurrection was promised to people who were dead. And that first, we're going to see it in Israel, and that's going to be, we're going to get that in Hosea and Isaiah, because Paul's going to quote that in 1 Corinthians 15. But still, the first promise of the resurrection was in Genesis 3, when God, Yahweh, told Adam and Eve that you're going to have a son, and you're going to be the mother of all the living. Is that physically living, do you think? Have you been taught that physically living, do you think? I don't know. It's not. It's living, it's spiritual living, connected back to God. That's through Eve. Okay? But let's talk about your question. Is John 11, this is death of Lazarus, right? Find where he talks to Martha. Verse 20. Somebody read it. Let's see what we deduce. 20 to 27. And let's see what he says, when, what's going to happen. Somebody, 23, 27?
I'll read it.
Yep.
Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
So look, her answer says, I believe all that, and I believe you're the one that can do all that. Now, I want Darren to read that again, and I want him to use an amplified version that Mike Payne loves, and I love it too, because they help you if it's accurate. And I want you to use modifiers of spiritual and physical. Okay? You try it. I would do it, but no, you try it. Start in verse number 23.
Okay?
No, you got it?
You go, you read
the Amplified?
Yeah.
No, it's
no, don't read the Amplified. Read your Amplified as you understand it right now. Oh. We're gonna help you with your amplification, and let's see.
So I'm just going to read as normal.
No, you read putting some amplification in it.
Okay.
And I want you to say how it's going to happen. Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Or whatever.
Okay.
Help Jesus. Help us understand the words in red. Okay. Verse 23.
So, still a little confused. I'm sorry.
Let me help you. 23. Okay. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will physically rise again."
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Okay. Well, is that what Jesus means? Well, he might.
Okay.
Because what's he about to do?
Raise him.
Okay. Or do you think he said there, your brother will, more importantly, spiritually rise again?
Okay.
Well, it could be one or the other.
Got it.
Number 24,
okay.
What does Martha mean when she says, now she, you already know that she believes he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, who and that guy is supposed to do certain things. I mean, she's known him for his whole ministry. It's a family right outside Jerusalem. That's supporting him and blah, 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 okay? Very high, wealthy family. 24, Martha said, I know that Lazarus will rise again physically in the, well, I'm asking, I don't think so, rise again in the resurrection at the last day of the physical universe or the last day of this cosmos. And what does that mean? Okay, now she says, I know that, because why, Jesus? I've been hanging around with you for 3.5 years. 3 years. So what does she think? That's what I'm asking you. I'm not saying I know. I'm just asking you. Then Jesus says, I am the physical resurrection and the physical life. Is that what he, is that more, is that the important part? Nope. I am the resurrection. That's the connection back to God that's coming out of death, not physical death, and the life. How does Jesus define life in John 17? He's going to flip ahead. We ain't going to flip there, but he says, this is life, Father, that they know you. Let's keep that in mind. So this ain't physical life. Lazarus is about to be raised as a sign of all this, as a proof sign that Jesus can do it, and he can do even the more important, Thomas, to put you back spiritually with God. That's what he's doing. So I am the overall resurrection, not for your physical body, that ain't important, and the life connected to God, knowing Yahweh, he who believes in me, though he may physically die, they're already dead. Are they alive spiritually right now, Martha? No, they know I'm spiritually alive, but Jesus, he has to later become dead. If you want to go read in Revelation, he says, I am the first and the last. I was, I became dead. What does that mean? And I have risen to life forevermore. What does that mean? I became dead. Just what you're saying. Jesus became dead on the cross, not physically. Father, why have you killed me, forsaken me, turned away from me, put all sin of the world on me? That's when he died spiritually. I think.
Anyway, then he says unto thy
go ahead.
Hands I commend my spirit.
He sure did. So does that mean he didn't?
He did die physically, but his spirit lived.
His spirit lived, no problem.
Because he was born, he was alive.
Okay, look, what does that mean?
Eternally.
What does it mean that your spirit can be going back to God? That Jesus said it goes back to God. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you, don't think of what it means, because you are a Greek-oriented, immortality of the soul dude, and that is wrong in a Hebrew mindset. It's like you said. If you want to know what that means, you go read in the book of Ecclesiastes Last chapter, the body goes, let me tell you the end of it all. The body goes to the dirt from which it came, and the spirit or soul goes to the God who gave it. Now look, that is not Greek thought at Ecclesiastes. That is Hebrew thought, and if you want to know what that means, you go read Genesis 2, when God
breathed life.
How did he do it? What two substances? Breathe. Tell me.
He breathed into
her. Into what?
Into Adam, the spirit that loved.
What did Adam come from?
Dirt.
Dirt. Dirt. Mm-hmm. No, look, it's a decreation of man that started in Genesis 2. God took some dirt and put, you know what that word for spirit is? I'll bet you it's ruach. That's wind, that's spirit, that's breath. When it said God breathed into Adam, he winded into Adam. He spirited into Adam. And Ecclesiastes is saying nothing more that when a man dies, under this vanity, you agree, the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes says, if you ain't connected to God, it's all vanity. And when you die, you go decreated back to Adam. Your dirt goes to the dirt, and the spirit, the breath of God. This ain't the Holy Spirit. I don't think. It's just decreation language because, as Darren absolutely rightly said, the Hebrews were not Greeks. They had no idea until Plato and Aristotle and Socrates that this immortality of the soul, you die and it floats away. Not the Hebrew. Everything went to Sheol. That's right. So you got to ask yourself, when Jesus is talking about the resurrection and Paul's talking about the resurrection, are they Greek-minded, which most preachers are today? They'll tell you stories about, hey, or a person who goes to heaven, I mean, they have a vision of heaven, and they said, I was looking there and I saw my soul levitate out of my body, and then I saw the light, and you hear those stories. Maybe they're true, maybe not, I don't know, but they're influenced by this Greek thought. In Colossians, they're being influenced by this Greek thought, as C.F. says, okay? Spirit, good. Body, bad. Right?
Yeah.
What do the Hebrews say? They're both bad. Okay, until Jesus, now they're both good. That kind of thing. So, I'm just saying, here we are, and you got to ask yourself, for what purpose would Jesus? But what got us on here is where I said, when was the resurrection going to happen? Martha says, Jesus agrees, that's going to happen on when?
Last day.
On the resurrection, at the last day. The last day of what? I have been taught. What about you? The last day of existence of the universe. He's going to blow this one up. Kaboom! Okay? And then I get what John is going to get. My DNA, my physical, chemistry, biological, but it's going to be shiny.
Because even you get into, cremation, that gets complicated.
Huh, right? Why?
Yeah. I mean, you destroyed the body.
Yeah, where did it go?
And that
to the dust.
Dust and air. Yeah. Like when you burn that thing,
yeah,
you got a little ashes left, dust. But where did? So yeah.
That's interesting.
But so how can God do for John what John no longer thinks? But how can he do that? Well, he's God.
Right.
And we live in an enclosed universe. So he's going to go get all that, even though you've been breathing my old fumes from my deal, He's going to do that. God can do anything. That's the answer. Well, can we do a little better than that?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's why I'm challenging myself about what resurrection from the dead on the last day, what does that mean? So, from the dead, does it mean from physical death and you're going to get a physical body? You're taught that mostly. It means corpses out of caskets. What it means. And you're supposed to be happy with that. So people say, man, what kind of body am I going to get? 65, almost 65, is that the one? Oh man, if I'm 80, I hope not. I want one like Derek. I want that one.
Take a peek.
Right? I want like Thomas Buff abs. That. Really? And I've even had arguments and participated in debate about we're going to be raised with that physical body like Jesus, who was 33 and a half years old. And that must be why Adam, when God did the dirt and the wind thing in it, he was probably 33 years old. Have you heard that much? That's what we're going to come back. We're all going to be 33 and a half and buff.
I haven't ever heard it fly that way.
Got 1 year left to that. Here we go.
That's Is that why they did the 33 and a third RPM records?
I don't know.
There's a leak right there.
Woo! Told you that guy's old. Batman, 33 record. He ain't gonna be. Yes, Mike.
LSV, a couple of verses there.
Yes, are you John 11?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Martha says,
now tell them what LSV is. It is
Literal Standard Version.
So this is
which
good.
Which is a modern Young's Literal.
This was Young's Literal, 1800s.
19th century, this is 21st century.
Thank you. Now, yeah. Read it. Listen closely of the literal words.
Okay. Let me get my thumb where I'm supposed to stop. Okay, yeah. Martha says to him, I have known that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day.
All right, look, I have known.
I have known.
And your Bible says, I know.
I know.
No, I have known. I've been with you, Jesus. I've known that.
Yeah.
Okay, please, go ahead.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who is believing in me, even if he may die, will live. And everyone who is living and believing me will not die throughout the age.
Throughout the age. Which age?
His kingdom age.
Yes.
Yeah.
The new age, the new creation, the new Jerusalem, that age. Because
see, that's their age, and she says the last day,
yes,
the resurrection, but he says throughout the age.
Thank you. You see how important that is? Oh, yes. I'm even sucked in by trying to use my version. To the age. Which age? If you're in the wrong age reading your Bible, because most of all New Testament was written in a transition of the ages. Moses going away, Messiah age coming. That the age of Moses, guess who died? Everyone, except those still alive, maybe, who Paul's going to tell us 1 Corinthians 15, they get transformed. They either rise to life or they get changed, he says. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it.
He said the Jews believe that they go to Hades.
Yes, sir. Sheol, call it Sheol first.
The body that's and the Sheol. Spirit. Yes, the body and the spirit all go to Hades.
I just know they didn't have a separatist view. And Ecclesiastes tells me something. But they believed in a unity of the body. Their body. It went to Hades, the grave, the pit, the dust. Those all mean the same thing.
Everything.
Just went. And I can prove, I can just tell you what the Bible says. From where did Samuel get called up from before Saul's final battle and killed? By the witch at Endor. From where did Samuel say, where did she see him? The Bible says, they saw a form coming up. And that's okay. The cosmology of the Hebrew was heaven, earth, and under the earth. Thank you. So of course, Hades, grave, Sheol, abyss, pit, underworld, Tartarus, under the earth. So of course, Samuel comes up. And Samuel, she said, he was wrapped with a cloak. Because I don't know what that body looks like. It may not be nobody. So he's wrapped with a cloak. And he says, why have you blanked me? Wait, do you know? What do you say? Why have you disturbed me? Even though I can show you the verses where the Bible tells you what a Sheol existence was like. They are shades. There is no laughter, no joy, no nothing. It's just a dead existence. That's what the Bible tells you to be.
I have a friend who went to Jerusalem, and they said there's like a valley where the Jews are buried. They have to be buried in a specific valley for their body to be resurrected again.
Well,
is that like an Orthodox Jewish thing?
That would be a Messianic Jew, surely. Because just Jews too, because they're still waiting on the Messiah. And they believe from Zechariah, where is he going to come and stand? Okay, he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, it says. And between his feet, it's going to split. Go to the north, go to the south, blah, blah, blah. That's what they believe. Well, they have to, because that's Zechariah. Yeah, so very good.
So a modern day Jew would believe that Sheol is still in existence.
Yes.
Okay.
But what's the Greek word for Sheol? Hades. What's the English word for those? Hell, which quit using it, unless your Bible uses it. How many times does your Bible use the word hell?
Never.
Thank you.
Sheesh.
Never. So quit using it. Yes.
In life, standing or to stand again.
Yes.
But nobody had really been spiritually standing since Adam fell.
Now pause. Did you hear what he said? Who had been spiritually standing before God since Adam?
No one.
No one. Right? And listen, that's the word. What's the Greek word? Anastasis. Stasis. Anastasis means again to stand. Now, does that just mean physically to get up off the dirt? What does standing mean when you're in front of somebody in an image sense, in a positional sense, not physical? What does it mean?
You have the authority to stand there.
You have the authority.
Ruling.
Yeah. Ruling. Yes. What was Adam before the fall? He was physically in the presence of Yahweh. Yeah. But more importantly, he was ruling. He had authority, didn't he? And since Adam, say it again, John, who had standing with God?
Nobody. Spiritually, nobody. Covenantally, they agreed and they tried.
Well, there was a way to kind of get good with God, but you couldn't come before God's face, could you? No. You want to get before His face inside of that tabernacle or temple, and what would happen to you?
Vaporize.
Yeah, Nadab, Abihu, poof, go drag them out, carry the old sorry carcass out of here.
And then after Pentecost,
go ahead.
After Pentecost, Paul keeps writing to the churches saying, you have a standing in Christ, stand, for something's about to happen.
Now look, here's what that means, and we're going to end here. Charity's here, but look, think of it. Let's see how it tells you from the pulpit. Even if you or he understand the full image of this, the positive effect of this is that he uses two words, position and condition. Positionally, after Christ. How are you with God? Are you in good standing?
Through Christ, yes.
Amen. Yes. Through Christ. You have been stood again because how were you physically born?
Dead.
Dead. How were you spiritually born?
Dead.
Dead. Disconnected. But through Christ, you have been given a standing again.
Amen.
It ain't physical. It's not your old sorry carcass. I don't care.
Nicodemus, born again. I got to go back to my mother's womb. What are you talking about?
That supports this position of standing, image, status, position, versus your condition. What you do, all that. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't. Enough. So there you are. And I'm telling you that resurrection is a standing again. Anastasis. We'll look at that more. Okay, is what we'll do. And last question. When do you get that? When did you get that? When does Paul say they would get that standing again? Now, I know the answer is resurrection day, right? Resurrection morning. That's when you get it. So, here's what you ask yourself. When did Paul get that? When did the Corinthians get that? When did you get that? When did Adam get that? Did Adam ever get it? Is Adam in Sheol right now? Is Adam in Sheol right now, do you think? Well, if it ain't been a resurrection, where else would he be? Now, what's the last funeral you went to? Huh? Anybody? A funeral lately?
Mr. Brunner,
where did they say Robert is?
In the presence of God, through Christ. Yeah.
Well, how did he get there? And you ain't willing to tell me if Adam's in there. What about Abraham? What about Moses?
I thought Paul said something about, you know, the judgment will be in the blink of an eye when you die.
He did. That's he said in 1 Corinthians 15, in an atomos, blink of an eye, that's the shortest time for Adam, atomos. He said that's when the resurrection would occur.
When you die.
He didn't say when you die. We're going to read it. But he said at the last day, in the resurrection, okay, it will be, and I don't want to quote it, I don't know, but we'll look at that. That's fantastic that you bring that up, but that's how it's going to happen. So, is that what that means? Is that at the last day? And what do you do that happens? Anyway, all right, final comments.
You actually said some would still be alive.
They sure did. Mm-hmm. But I think this view believes that some people would be alive. Remember, some would be raised and some would be changed, which that's okay. Yes? Yes, that still fits. Some would be raised if they were dead, defined dead, and some would be changed. And some were asleep. Does asleep mean dead? Because here's all the scripture. Does asleep mean dead? Does asleep mean asleep in Christ, which is transition period, I believe, Jesus? Or does it mean alive? Okay, Charity, come on up here. Mike, last comment, come on.
A neat summary